Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Good on a fast Friday. It is the Danny Parker Show. Matt Spiegel is in. Shane Reardon is off licking his wounds from a failure of epic proportions in his softball championship. I'm told he went 0-for-3 in the championship game with an error, and he blew it for his team. Unbelievably disappointing performance for Shane.
What's your source on that? Because I heard the other night that his team won it in the bottom of the seventh, and that source was Shane in a text that I woke up to.
Yeah, I can't reveal my source on this. I got a softball guy. I got a mole inside Shane's team who was blaming him for the loss. They won the first game because he took off work and he made it there, and he played pretty well in the first game, I'm told. Yeah. But then he blew it in the championship game and was the reason for their downfall.
It's good to have a mole. It's always good to have a guy. You need a guy all over the place. You need a guy with sports teams. My favorite was when – the dude was up in space, pretty much in space, getting ready to do his jump. It was a Red Bull sponsored event. Remember
when that dude jumped from up there?
And Bernstein led a conversation transition with this. You know, I have a friend at NASA, and
I remember this.
Oh, yeah. I lost it and called him. You have a NASA guy, really? You have a NASA guy?
And then I got a guy on Shane's softball team.
Yeah.
Burnsy has a NASA guy.
Burnsy's got a – well, and then it ended up that I actually had a friend whose wife worked at NASA. So I actually ended up with a NASA gal at that point.
We have a produce lady.
We do.
We have a produce lady.
Trying to think if I have any recent produce dilemmas or what I like to refer to as excuses to put Dawn the produce lady on the air. I don't have anything right now.
No, nothing's coming to mind right now, but I'm sure we can work her into a rundown if we try hard enough. Tanny, not sure if you're busy right now, but a couple of people are texting in. Shane is off, and I just don't feel up to the task. Could you maybe explain Pizza Fridays, given that Shane isn't here?
Thanks for asking.
Take your time.
So I feel like Matt Nagy here at the Zoom call. He's trying to explain after a bad offense there.
Yell at Jason Leeser, quick.
That always helps, right? So Pizza Friday, today is Friday, and what we do on Fridays on Pizza Friday is oftentimes, I would say, every Friday since March, we've had pizza on Fridays. Today, Pizza Friday was sponsored by Lynn Bramer of XRT, and today's Pizza Friday pizza on Friday was Pequod's, for all those asking. Oh, I know there's a lot of bad info out there, so thank you for giving me the opportunity to clarify it for those people who maybe don't understand or it's confusing, which I get, and you know, if you've seen bad info out there, it is Pizza Friday. You're hearing it right here first on the Score, so thanks.
Okay.
I appreciate
it. No, that's good. All further questions, leave Shane alone on his day off. They can be
forwarded. Oh, he loves it. He loves talking to people on social
all right,
media.
Yeah, that's fine. You're right. Yeah. Hit up Shane Reardon on Twitter, and he'll be able to spend his weekend explaining Pizza Fridays to you. But speaking of food speaks.
Yeah.
I'm
a fan.
I saw this I saw this going. Yeah. Me too. Are you? You're still a fan of food, even though
still
you're plant based.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. It's my options have narrowed, but that doesn't keep me from dining aggressively.
Good. That's probably at least 2-3 times a day. I would imagine you're still dining, right?
Yeah. Upwards of 3. Occasionally 4, you know, if a little wine goes in, then the filter goes off and the late night snack becomes fourth option. This is how it
works. Yeah, of course. I saw this on the old Twitter box, and apparently Colorado Springs.
I've got audio on this, Danny.
Oh, you do? Look how prepared you are. Go ahead.
CBS Denver.
It was CBS the tweet Denver. That started it all. Denver City Council President Alvis Brooks declaring breaking. In-N-Out is coming to Colorado. We posted the story on CBS Denver's Facebook page, and in 2 hours it had been shared 1,500 times. The comments came pouring in as well. My life just got a little better, commented Rose. Had to check and make sure it wasn't an Onion article. Yeah, it's real. But we quickly learned what each of you now know. It seems everyone has a strong opinion about In-N-Out. Haters, stay away and make room for the fans, wrote one. Another commented, the most overrated burger place ever. Andy Klein with Westside Investment Partners, Inc. disagrees.
It is not overrated. It is the best burger around, 4x4, animal style, no pickles.
There is a line in Colorado Springs that looks to be legitimately, this is not hyperbole, over 1,000 cars deep, where the first person lined up on Tuesday for the opening of an In-N-Out Burger in Colorado Springs. First of all, I don't know if you want to do an overrated draft, but if we were to do an overrated draft, the Trevor Lawrence of overrated drafts would be In-N-Out Burger.
That'd be number one on your overrated fast food chain or just overrated burger.
Things that are overrated, like Fight Club. That's In-N-Out Burger.
Excuse me. Did you just say the movie Fight Club is overrated?
I did. I did say that.
You're such a jackass and an opinion-free, tasteless jackass. How dare you say that? That's a fabulous movie.
It's such a smug movie to love. Like, it's just, it's manipulative.
Yeah, I don't love it because other people think it's cool to love it. Not everybody has their opinions so firmly based on how they're going to be perceived, okay? I can actually just like something. It's possible.
Sure you can. All right, I didn't mean to muddy the waters with other things that would be on my overrated Mount Rushmore, okay?
I'm hyperventilating over here.
I can tell. But do you, In-N-Out Burger? You've spent some time on the West Coast.
Yeah.
You know what In-N-Out Burger is? A burger. $6. $8. There's nothing special. Oh, there's a secret menu. You know what the secret menu is? They put onions on it. Like, it's not like animal style. Yeah, it's basically just onions and sauce mixed together.
The most overrated burger style. Place ever. Andy Klein with Westside Investment Partners, Inc. disagrees.
It is not overrated. It is the best burger around, 4x4, animal style, no pickles.
There's the entirety of the debate right there. Some random person like Danny saying overrated. Yeah, no, I never thought it was all that special. I was super excited to go have it. Its legend precedes itself in a remarkable, I'm sure at first, an involuntary promotion that has since become its calling card, you know, that just like, oh, it's so special because it's so rare. You can only get it on the West Coast, and it progressively moves a little bit towards the middle of the country. In-N-Out is funny because it reminds me of sex. I like sex, don't you? Let's get a burger that's as good as sex is what they're saying. And then, you know, all the reverential way that people talk about it fits into the scarcity. It's the scarcity of it as a promotional tool has been brilliantly done.
Absolutely. It's a thing. It's a pop culture phenomenon. And because
T-shirts.
Of the scarcity,
mm-hmm.
the logo and the, like, I've been in Vegas with people who have never been to In-N-Out Burger, and they're like, we have to go to In-N-Out Burger. I'm like, we're in Vegas. Are you out of your mind? Like, there's so much good food around. There's, like, so much debauchery and fun to be had. You want to, like, take a cab 40 minutes to an
first thing
In-N-Out
we do.
Burger?
First thing we do, we get off the plane. First thing we got to do. No, I want to go to my hotel, and I want to gamble. I want to enjoy myself.
Shut up. Like we're on a spring training trip in Arizona. There's all this like amazing weather and baseball and golf and Mexican food and like so many things that you could do. And be like, I gotta go to In-N-Out Burger. We're in Arizona. No, you don't.
Have a good time. And enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Tell me, and then be sure to get your fries animal style so then you can't use your hands to eat the fries. Like it's just that place is terrible. All right, not terrible. Like I'll eat it. But it's not better than Five Guys. It's not better than Whataburger. It's not better than Shake Shack. It's fine.
I had a similar Vegas experience with a sandwich shop, which has now made its way to Chicago. I know there's one in Chicago. Capriati's. Have you eaten it? Have you had a sandwich at Capriati's yet on Wabash? I think it's been there a little more than a year. It's not far from the radio station. But it
so
was
that's not the place that you took me to with the
Thanksgiving sandwich. Did I take you there?
Yes. With no, I've
Bobby.
Had that place. It's been over a year now, though.
Yeah, I guess it has been over a year. The Bobby, the Thanksgiving sandwich at Capriati's. That's not overrated.
Yeah.
But I will allow you your In-N-Out overrated call. It reminds me of when Krispy Kreme finally got to the Chicago area, but that.
There you go.
Is not overrated. Krispy Kreme.
No, it's delicious.
Not overrated. Whatever crack that they use in their glaze and to get it hot is thoroughly worth when you can. Oh, the light is on? Let me, you know, I'm sorry, honey, to your daughter. You stay here. I'm going to need your space in the car to put more Krispy Kremes in the car.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible for food to be that good and that special and worth it. I mean, I remember thinking that the cilantro rice at Chipotle was laced with cocaine because I was so addicted to it. I was like, this is the most delicious thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. Mm. I want to buy stock in it. I want to bathe in it. I want to snort it. I want to do everything you could possibly do to that rice. But so, you know, it's subjective. I understand that. But when I saw the lines for this, you would have thought, and you would have also thought that there was like a promotion attached to it. Like, you remember our guy, Rick Camp?
Yes.
The infamous photo of him at the barbecue spot? Okay. At least.
And Rick Camp in studio.
When he got all sad faced and bundled up in the winter, and he was sitting outside up against a brick wall at a real urban barbecue, at least at the end of that 72 hour extravaganza of camping out for it, there was like 6 months.
That's actually where the phrase came from, camping out, is from him doing that.
Yeah.
I think camping out, I thought like, camping out refers to going to the wrong party and just staying there until someone else alerts you. That's camping out, I thought.
There's so many of them. Yeah.
By the way, Shep, that picture, just that picture of Rick Camp, by the way, I need to see that again. If somebody could send that to me or tweet
Shep
it.
Shep just texted
me.
It to the group chat.
Oh, that's
he
wonderful.
Just
Shep has it in his downloads folder so he can see it anytime he wants. It's always right there.
All right, well, let's tweet that from the Park and Show account because
please.
That's just that's remarkable. That really is a remarkable picture of Rick Camp and his commitment to waiting for the opportunity for free food. And if that picture alone were an I'm Fat podcast T-shirt, I would like one in a 2X, no longer a 3X. Thank you very much. I'd like that in a 2X now, if I could.
Congrats.
Thanks.
You're almost not a fat anymore.
Well, no, thankfully from those guys, I think Jay was retweeting because somebody was saying, hey, I ordered myself a T-shirt, but I had to get it in a medium. And Jay was saying that being a fat is a state of mind. It's not. It's very existential. Apparently, the I'm Fat podcast approach to being a fat, and I respect that.
They really should make that their logo or a T-shirt because and does anyone remember the details of it? Because it was like because when Chick-fil-A opens a new location, it's like the first 20 people that are there get Chick-fil-A for a year or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like it's a thing. But what blew my mind about this In-N-Out story in Colorado was there was just 1,000 cars deep for a below average fast food burger. There was no prize or like Willy Wonka golden ticket at the end of it. At least Rick Camp was like hanging out for $250 worth of barbecue.
Oh my gosh. He's
sleeping
on
the
sidewalk. I love this picture so much.
It's so wonderful.
At the Park and Show Twitter. Like, it looks like it could have been taken today because they're distance. It's awkward. The guy's just pointing to Campy, who's sitting on the floor. Like, the guy could easily just walk around him and be first in line, and Rick would not do anything about it.
Because he's respecting the space that has been carved out. And is there an indentation on that concrete below Rick Camp? Only he would know. Only he would know.
He also has a blanket. Like, he's
yes, he's claimed his spot.
He looks like Lieutenant Dan.
Right, we don't know for sure that there are legs underneath that. We don't know for sure. I say that he has correctly put the middle of his back against what appears to be a gap in the concrete, which could be saving some possible vertebrae pain down the road. So that's well done by Campy. I still want to see if there's an ass groove in the concrete, though. I really do.
There's so much to analyze and dissect from this picture. One, what Tanny brought up, the social distancing 6 years before it was a thing. Anyone that knows Campy, you see his work bag that's sitting right next to him that he always has with him that he couldn't, you know, leave in the car or leave at home or something. The scarf that looks like it belongs today as well as a mask that he could just easily cover up with. Uh-huh. And personally, I think my favorite, besides Campy's just enormous smile, but the white shoes that scream of like 55-year-old man that can't be sporting as well that he's been wearing for 3 days without taking out as he sleeps and sits outside awaiting his free barbecue.
The smile is great. Campy is just like twiddling his fingers together being like, ah, the joke's on all of you. I'm about to get free barbecue.
He knows.
I also like thinking about this guy next to him who's pointing at him.
Oh, I love that guy. Hey, it's the man right here. What can I do? I tip my cap to this guy. He beat me here. He was here 28 hours before me.
And yet he's waiting. Like, once there's, I mean, forgive me, but wasn't like first person gets the prize?
Yeah,
was there anybody
else?
Once Campy's locked down position A, like, go home.
I just heard there was a guy here waiting. I had to come see him for myself.
Had to come see for myself. Oh,
that's actually what I like to think of that guy is, Tanny. That he's actually not in line for the barbecue. He just like went up to Campy. He's like, is he homeless? Can I give you a dollar? Can I help you? And then Campy told him, I'm waiting in line for the free barbecue. And the guy's like, look at this guy. And wanted a picture of it. Because he looks like he's seeing an attraction at a museum. He's like pointing to something. Like, look here.
This guy is the man.
This guy I found.
He's,
right.
he's actually at the end of the line for the Whataburger, which is down the street.
Right. Exactly. Oh, God.
You know, somebody's
Someone
saying on the text.
Text Campy and find out what the prize was.
I think it was
free barbecue for a year, but he could go like once
a month, right?
Yeah, once a month. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely questioned the effort. We questioned the utility of the prize as compared to the time and energy that
it is good barbecue, though. Real Urban Barbecue is top-notch. One of
terrific.
My favorite spots, yeah.
Wonderful. And it's a story, and it's content. So God love him for that. We have a texter saying that, Danny, you are framing the argument incorrectly on In-N-Out, that it is the quality of the burger versus the pricing. That the pricing really... really stands out in terms of the ratio and what makes In-N-Out special. It's been a long time since I bothered to have one, so I can't even speak to that, really.
Okay, I mean, it is cheaper than Shake Shack. It is cheaper than Five Guys, but it's also worse because it's more expensive than Wendy's. And so, like, and I would argue that a Baconator at Wendy's, really good burger.
It's Pat like Manley's favorite. He says that was the official burger of the Lovey Smith Bears, was the Baconator.
Yeah, so that's – if people talk about Whataburger – or excuse me, they talk about In-N-Out like it's this great thing. And if your argument is on behalf of cheapness, there are also really good, cheaper burgers. In-N-Out Burger is no man's land. That's what it is. People think it's so cool
and
trendy.
–
It's a tweener.
Yeah, no one. You can't win a championship with a tweener. This isn't the era of positionless basketball here. I want to know what I'm getting. If I'm going cheap, I'll go Wendy's. If I'm going for a good burger that's also fairly fast, give me Shake Shack or Five Guys. This isn't hard.
Burger. Yeah.
Get out of here.
So, you know, we've established that. We've established that. I think, you know, the final word has been put down, and you, my friend, are never allowed to watch Fight Club with me. I mean, you probably will love that. You'll be thrilled not to watch it with me, but my God, bastard. It ends with a Pixies song, with a beautifully placed, perfectly utilized Pixies song.
Yeah, and if you play the movie backwards, it reveals some sort of hidden message and blah,
is
blah,
that
blah,
true?
Blah, blah, blah.
I don't know that.
No. Like, is that true? If you play the movie backward, no.
I was ready to buy that.
That's how people talk about it. They talk about it in these reverential terms that it's like it's fine. I get it. Brad Pitt without a shirt. They're fighting. I understand. Ed Norton. It's fine.
Speaking of Ed Norton, terrific long thread from Ed Norton today on the political state of the nation. He's a very smart and thoughtful dude who can be incredibly annoying, as most smart and thoughtful dudes are. Back to you, Danny.
Thank you. He really was. That was in my Venn diagram. That was in my sweet spot.
Right.
Ed Norton, Rounders, dunking on the president, Twitter threads. It was just right in my lane. I read that at 7 a.m. this morning. I was like, yeah, this is great. Do we have Rick Camp on the line in studio?
In studio?
Does he want to
the line
himself?
Is in studio, yes, but he's on the phone.
Yeah, okay. Campy, are we missing anything from the story? Because your picture camping out for the Real Urban Barbecue just makes all of us happy. And Spieg says it would be the highest selling piece of merchandise for the I'm Fat podcast. What say you?
I'm sorry, I did not even hear the question.
I wasn't punched up enough,
so I didn't hear it.
Yeah. No problem. What did you call in to say? Because I can ask you the question again, but
let him go. Yeah, Campy, your world.
Your world, Campy. Got the picture? Go ahead.
Well, I don't even know. Shep just said, "Can you call in when you have it available?" So I said, "Sure."
Oh, okay. We're not here to talk about the NBA.
Let me fill in the gaps here. So Campy called and he said, "I just got in the car. What's going on?" I was like, "Well, we're talking about the In-N-Out Burger opening in relation to you camping out." And Campy goes, "The In-N-Out Burger opening?"
You stopped him cold with the In-N-Out news. Where? Yeah.
Okay. So Campy, an In-N-Out Burger opened up in Colorado Springs, Colorado. 1,000 cars were in line. Someone got in line Tuesday for the burger, but they didn't get anything free for it. They were just waiting in line for In-N-Out. And I said it's the most overrated thing in food, the In-N-Out burger. So then obviously, naturally, we started talking about your picture of waiting in line at Real Urban Barbecue. And then Speaks had a great idea. Speaks and I, the original supporters of the I'm Fat podcast, you guys are selling merchandise. You guys are crushing it. Would you consider selling t-shirts with that picture of you camping out on a sidewalk, smiling, waiting for your free Real Urban Barbecue? If you put that picture on a t-shirt, I can tell you right now, I'll buy a large, Spiegs will buy a 2X, and we'll sell 50 of them for you by the end of this segment, no problem.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I mean,
okay, that was easy.
I've got no shame. At least when I camped out there, I was able to get free stuff. So I would not do that, especially for In-N-Out, not days in advance with nothing for free. That's foolishness. Now, getting free stuff, that's another story.
That makes sense.
And just to be clear, we think we had it right, but exactly how much free barbecue did you get and exactly how long did you camp out for?
I was out there for 3 hours, and I got $50 a month for a year. So I got... I got $600 worth of barbecue.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good use of time, really. $200 an hour in barbecue was the salary.
Especially when the last hour they let me sit in the, their little foyer area.
Aww.
So only 2 of the hours were outside. So it really wasn't that bad.
Oh, they removed your buttocks from the concrete for 60 minutes. That is a lovely gesture by the Real Urban Barbecue people.
We're trying to open a business here. Get this guy out of the way.
And the guy who's pointing at you in the picture, he was the second guy to show up, and he was just impressed at your dedication.
He showed up about 10 minutes before me. He's like a local, like, foodie type guy that does stuff on Instagram. So he was telling me all his stories of, well, I was the first person at this restaurant, and this restaurant, and this restaurant. He's like trying to convince me to leave so he could help his rep.
Oh, and that's.
At one point, I looked at him and I was like, man, I just don't make a lot of money and I could use the free food and I like the place. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, good for you. You outgamed the gamer is what you did. That guy, he's the opener. It's like, you know that dude who's the ultimate ball hawk who's caught a baseball outside of like 20 or 30 different baseball stadiums? That Jamoke who's on HBO? It's like you fought off that guy. You fought off that guy for the ball. Well done, Campy.
Yeah, because like he had this thing planned out for days, apparently. For me, I knew it was happening. I had to go to work at IMS early that day, and it was only like 10 minutes away from there. So I said, hey, I'll swing by. If nobody's in line, I'll sit in line. And if somebody's in line, then I'll just go to work a little bit early.
I'm sorry. Did you say you had IBS? Is that what I heard? Or was that just – I think I may have heard wrong. Okay.
I mean, that might be in my future. Let's not – let's be honest. But
the day is young. The day is young, Rick.
Thank you, Campy. Thank you, as always. Congratulations on your barbecue. I like that. I like that speak. Some guy tried to talk him off of it, and he sat his ground. He didn't stand his ground. He sat his ground. Okay, we have to get serious here before Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock. Yeah, no, it's important. And so we're going to get really serious because – we have to discuss naming zoo animals after athletes because there's one that's just too perfect. So we have to completely examine this. It's the Danny Parkin Show with Matt Spiegel.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I love the wildlife of the far west. It's DeAndre Ayton, who runs like a cheetah, the fastest animal on land. And then soaring like an eagle, I'll get up and fly away. The footwork of a mountain goat can get wherever he wants. Vision like a hawk, he can see it all. Throw it down like an elephant, grab a tree trunk and smash it down. And then defense like a grizzly bear. Don't bring that weak stuff in here. Arr!
Danny Parkin Show with Matt Spiegel. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The score, as some people in the chat pointed out, another perk of the Twitch stream. They were able to see the picture of Rick Camp camping out for Real Urban Barbecue right there on the chat. It's also on the Parkin Show Twitter account, but it's a visual component with the radio show. Hub Arkish will talk national NFL and where the Bears go from here in the bye week coming up at 4 o'clock. But animal comparisons for athletes. It's been something that's a tale as old as time. But you you have a story of a zoo animal and an athlete, Spiegel?
Yeah. I mean, and this is apparently not new. Doing a little research this morning, I care about the show, care about the content that that I can help provide. The Wisconsin Zoo has apparently a couple of badgers named for Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky. So this has happened before. There is a black mamba in Atlanta that in 2015 they named after Kobe Bryant. Its name is Kobe. But I personally want to welcome the new baby giraffe in Memphis, Tennessee, that the Memphis Zoo. No, that's not a bad guess. But think closer to home with Memphis.
Memphis. Yeah, Ja Morant.
Ja Raff.
Ja the giraffe.
Ja Raff is the name. Its name is Ja Raff. J-A
pretty good.
Space R-A-F-F-E. I want to stand up and applaud if that's all right. I think Ja Raff is phenomenal, and there's a basketball hook. There's a height hook that is inherently involved. So this, of course, has allowed the Memphis Zoo to continue what they've been doing since yesterday, and I hope that they'll do this for the remainder of the coronavirus pandemic, is have the giraffe perform various basketball tasks to the best of his ability and put that...
Wait, this is where you've lost me. There's a height hook? You mean because giraffes are tall and basketball players are tall?
Yes.
Is that what we're saying?
Okay. Yeah, is that so hard?
I've never seen a giraffe play basketball.
Well, I think you should go to the internet. You should go to the internet and you can watch Giraffe try to dunk, you know? And they have him trying to do that. I think it's lovely. I think it's sensible. And I think it should happen even more. Cleverly named zoo animals in honor of athletes that they might resemble or just be inspired by as they live their lives.
Well, there's in Chicago, we'd have some easy ones, right? You could just name, you could even have two names. You could have like the baby cubs that would grow into the full grown bears. You could do like a little hyphenated, Ernie Payton. For example, call the cub Ernie, call the when it comes into a bear Peyton. I don't know.
That's
workshopping
fair.
This idea on the fly. It's not great.
It's not bad.
It's acceptable.
How about a rhino? How about a rhino? There should be a rhinoceros at the Lincoln Park Zoo ought to be named Rhino Sandberg. And if it's not, then what have we been doing as a society? I mean, we've been failing.
Yeah.
Or Nolan Rhino, and that could be so many different places. Nolan Rhino could be in Texas,
Houston,
yeah. California, New York. Nolan Rhino could be all over the place. I did find, Danny, that there was another giraffe named for an NBA player. This happened in 1993. Would you like to take a guess what that giraffe's name was from 1993?
Sean Kemp.
No, although he had several children that worked at the zoo at that time.
Right. Of course, they enjoyed it.
Dikembe. Dikembe. And didn't they beat Sean Kemp's Seattle team? Look at that. You took us right there. The Denver Nuggets in 93.
I was so close.
Oh, my God. You were swimming in the correct pool for that one. So Dikembe the giraffe, that's phenomenal. I think that's brilliant.
So I'm familiar with this tool that you call the internet, but
you are.
Did you just Google zoo animals named after athletes? How do you have so much information? You're like Rosie Perez in White Men Can't Jump. I know seven foods that start with the letter Q. How do you know so many zoo animals named after professional athletes?
It was a slow morning around here.
Okay.
there's no school for me because Ruben's with his mom today, so my wife was working. I was thinking about the show. I'm sorry about that. If you'd like me to think less about the show, I could certainly arrange that. If that
no
would be
no
better.
no I want you to be thinking about the show. I've enjoyed these contributions, but just sometimes, you know, I like.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I'm out of your depth when we're discussing like things like music or baseball history. Uh-huh. And then, like, today, zoo animals named after professional athletes going back to the early 90s. Like, I didn't know that was a specialty.
Well, it's a thing.
For you.
Apparently, in Pittsburgh, all of the penguins at the Pittsburgh Zoo, unsurprisingly, have been named for different players through the years. You know, that's
sure,
a natural, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, of course. So in Detroit,
yeah,
the Lions are all just named. Yeah.
Following you. That might be the case. I saw that in San Francisco, at the San Francisco Zoo, for some reason, they named five different monkeys after players. Like, they have some rare species of monkey. They named players after players on the Giants and the Warriors. I don't know how well that was received. I don't know the answer to that, because it seemed pretty random. Like, one monkey was named Pence for Hunter Pence, which is nice.
I don't know why they would do that. It seems borderline offensive. I don't even know what they're doing in that situation.
Yeah.
What about the Giants in New York? Like, the Giant exhibit? I mean, we could go further with this.
A Giant exhibit? What the hell are you talking about?
Now I'm taking it too far.
Giants don't exist, Danny. They're legends. They're legend in children's stories and folk tales and such.
Stupid,
my God.
Stupid Parkins. Yeah, in Minnesota, the Vikings. Yeah, okay, I got that one wrong, too.
Yeah.
The Vikings.
Dan and Warwick, what's up, Dan?
Hey, Mike. I just got a question about the Giants. In your years of experience, have you ever seen, how the San Francisco Giants were once the New York Giants? Has there ever been either a franchise to franchise, or maybe even player to player, get together when San Francisco comes to New York? Like, do they ever say hi? Maybe, I don't know, go out to dinner or something.
I don't know what are you talking about.
Is there ever any interaction when the San Francisco Giants come to New York, or vice versa?
The San Francisco Giants come to New York and do what?
Have a game.
They play against the Mets. And what do you want to happen now?
Did the New York Giants ever reach out to him, either the players or the franchises?
The football Giants?
Yeah, the football Giants.
Well, what is the connection between the San Francisco Giants and the football Giants?
Well, they used to be in New York, and they got the same name.
But they have nothing to do with each other, though. There's no connection. They have different ownership. There's no connection between the two teams. I mean, there's no connection in any way between the two teams. They have no relationship. Do you think because they're Giants are like brothers or something? That might be the weirdest question I got in a long time.
It just kept going.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And at LaGuardia, they name the Jets Namath. And they keep naming Sam Donald, the 737.
I'm not flying that. I am not getting on the Sam Darnold, no matter how well-respected that plane is. Absolutely.
It's really
not.
Wobbly.
You know what? I'd rather ride the Flacco if I had to. I mean, if you're making me choose, I'd rather ride the Flacco. At least that guy's done something. That plane has landed before.
That's right. Yeah, he's got
seen ghosts.
Track record. Oh, my God. God.
Oh,
well,
boy. Well, a cobra named Dave Parker. You know, a boy can dream about these things. But I think Ja Rafe is up there for one of the greatest zoo animals ever named for an athlete. And I feel like it was important that we discussed this.
I think it was as well. Hub Arkish joins us at 4:00. We continue to waste your time and ours as only we can with Matt Spiegel in on the Danny Parker Show on the Score.
Hey, Spiggs, good to have you, man. What's going on?
Always good to have Matt Spiegel in. He makes us better. He makes radio better. He is Matt Spiegel. We'll talk to Hub Arkish coming up in about 10 minutes. You spent some time with the game last night, it sounded like. DK Metcalf. Did you watch?
I watched a lot of that game. I watched a lot of that game and was there at the end as Kyler was trying to find a little more magic. I thought he was going to. I just thought after last week and as difficult as he is to contain, as much as he's learned, as much fun as that offense is now with both Drake and Edmonds rolling and Christian Kirk as your third wide receiver and aging Larry Fitzgerald as the ultimate possession guy with Nuke. I thought he was going to get it done myself, but he didn't.
Yeah, he did not. I think a lot of people felt the same way. It was interesting to watch it, and I'm sure most Bears fans who care about the NFL do the same thing. Like, they're never too far away from your consciousness when you're watching, especially in that spot, right? This is a high profile NFC game. We're not that far removed in this season when we were thinking about the playoffs for the Bears, right? They're 5-1, and then even when they're 5-3, it's like either one of those teams could have been a first round opponent for the Bears in the playoffs very easily, right? Those are 2 6-3 teams, NFC West, Thursday Night Football. And what struck me about the game was it wasn't very well played. Like, those teams always play each other close. Mm-hmm. There were a ton of penalties in the game last night. Like, Kyler was not sharp at all. He had a shoulder issue, apparently, that he was, like, dealing with, like, the heating pad that they kept talking about on the sideline. It was by far the best game of the year for the Seahawks defense. Like, I feel like they finally clicked a little bit since Jamal Adams came back from the injury. But so, like, maybe that was a B-minus overall game from the Seahawks and, like, a C-minus game from the Cardinals. And both of them were just worlds more watchable than the Bears. Like, it was just watchability. Right, I'm not talking about like what the Bears defense would have done, because I think the Bears defense would have looked really good against that version of Kyler Murray last night, who was very shaky for a huge percentage of the game. So not even talking about like how the Bears would have matched up, but just neither team played particularly well. A lot of penalties, sloppy game, injured quarterback, and both offenses looked 1,000% better than the Bears when they were nowhere near their best. It was just, in terms of measuring sticks of how far the Bears have to go, it was fairly jarring and apparent last night.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And I've been thinking a lot about this year as we've watched the complete failure of the Bears offense. And we've seen offenses doing well, obviously, throughout the league. And it's easy to say, wow, there are leagues in great hands with quarterbacks. There are 20 real good quarterbacks, and we've talked about that, and the Bears don't have one, and is it really truly that simple? But I don't think it is. And as I've watched, God, Alex Smith go out there and put up 380 yards last week. And there's so many teams that can schematically put an effective, productive offense out there. And the Bears cannot. That I find myself coming back to, which has always been sort of my biggest conundrum in trying to figure out, from seeking an overall football wisdom in my life, how much is coaching and how much is players' execution? How much is scheme and how much is simply the quality of talent? As I watch this 30th ranked offense in whichever category you want to grab, it's not all Matt Nagy. It's not all Ryan Pace and the quality and selection of those offensive linemen. It's obviously not all Mitch Trubisky, which we had chalked it up to be a lot of us. It's, you know, Darnell Mooney would be a very successful wide receiver if he were, as we've seen him, in the Arizona system or the Seattle system. And obviously he's dependent on the quarterback. But you know what I mean? Like, where are we on this grand investigation as we watch football for decades, trying to figure out how much is coach, schematics, and plan, and how much is quality of players and execution. And this year has, if anything, the Mitch experience and the Nagy experience has pushed me more towards wanting to look at the sensibility of an overall scheme and the way that a coach does it. I don't know where it has pushed you in these couple years.
I think, and it's a good conversation to have with Hub.
Yeah.
I think the Bears right now are such a collective failure, right? Like, I think for example, if whoever you think the best offensive coach in the NFL is, I think it's Andy Reid, maybe you think it's Sean Payton, maybe someone else thinks it's Kyle Shanahan, whatever. You swap Matt Nagy out for that guy. They're better, but I don't think they're good, right? Because it's take Nick Foles, swap him out for the best quarterback, put Pat Mahomes on this team. They're obviously better, but I'm not sure how he gets Matt Nagy, he gets this offensive line, he gets everything else. Like, they're much better with Pat Mahomes, obviously, but they're nowhere close to what the Chiefs are. I don't think they're great. And so it's just they're just not close anywhere is what it's driven me to. They are personnel, coaching, scheme, line, backfield, receivers. You know, I do think that, by the way, though, like Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Anthony Miller, that group, if you just said, okay, Chiefs offensive line, Chiefs coach, Pat Mahomes, and so instead of Kelce and Robinson and Hardman and Tyreek Hill, it was Cole Kmet, Mooney, Miller, and Allen Robinson. I think the Chiefs are a little worse, right? Like their pass catchers are obviously better than the Bears, but I still think it's a damn good offense. Like, I actually think that the Bears pass catchers in a different universe are good enough to be good.
Yeah, I think that would be an acceptable trio. I don't know about Kmet yet, but I think it'd be an acceptable trio. The wideouts, sure. But to your point about Pat Mahomes, the ceiling is so high because in Kansas City they seem to have it all. They have the line, they have the skill guys, they have the scheme, and obviously they've got Mahomes. If Mahomes were here, he would have to use his smarts and skills in a different way. He might have to diagnose. All right, this lineman sucks or that lineman sucks, so I can't do that in this direction. Like he would adjust, and you would still get the benefit of him, but not to the ceiling that they get in Kansas City. But this is the broader question to have.
Yeah, exactly. We can pick up the conversation with Hub, and it's the midway point. They're on bye. It's a good time to do some national NFL and some Bears analysis with Hub on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.